You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant presented by the Kings of Sport.
The Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, aka the world's most dangerous sports show, aka iTunes' longest running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. This is take two, I guess you could say, of this week's episode because, full disclosure, Marcus and I had a really great show. You know, Marcus, I don't know why I sound like Ed Sullivan right there. Really great shoe. It's a dated reference, but let's keep going. Let's keep it moving. Marcus and I had a really great show that we recorded last night. Marcus is currently in Florida in the Magic Kingdom doing some work down there as well as feeding his Walt Disney addiction. So Marcus will be back next week. But it was a great show when Marcus and I discussed the NFL. We discussed the Yankees hiring Aaron Boone as their new manager. We talked a little Eli Manning. But for the most part, we talked about Marcus's European vacation and how he will go to any lengths to visit a Disney theme park, even if it is Euro Disney or a Disney World Paris, I guess is what it's called now. But after we got through recording, Marcus and I got off of Skype, and I checked the files, and lo and behold, the podcast gods pulled another fast one on us because my half of the conversation was there, and Marcus's half of the conversation was not. And so I figured, if you're going to have to sit through just hearing me for a week, then we might as well just do a royal rant and at least that way we get a cogent discussion. You guys and girls get a fully realized show and not just half a show. So what we're going to do this week is have a royal rant edition of the program. And I got a couple topics I want to talk about, some things I want to discuss, some things that I need to get off my chest. But before we do that, I want to send a quick shout out to all of our listeners and our friends and family out in Southern California who are dealing with the effects of Mother Nature, if you will, and the firestorm, as some people are calling it. So Marcus is safe in Orlando, but you know, we hope that all of our people out there in Southern California are safe and be careful, man, because there are still ramifications. I guess like wild animals are still, you know, showing up in people's yards and stuff because they are trying to get away from the brush fire and all that stuff. So just be careful. And, you know, we're going to keep it moving. So, topic number one. The college football playoffs. The brackets have been announced. We have our final four for the national championship. Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama. Alabama finds a way much like the cat on the Flintstones. You know the end of the Flintstones where they're playing the theme song and Fred is putting the cat out and the cat just hop back through the window even though he don't belong in the house and then puts Fred out? That's how I visualize the College Football Selection Committee looked at Alabama and Ohio State. Ohio State, in my opinion, even though they had more losses, they belong in the Final Four. But Alabama's got that name. Alabama has the brand. Plus, you get another matchup between Alabama and Clemson. And so, much like the cat on the Flintstones, they hop back through the window and put the much more deserving, in my opinion, Ohio State Buckeyes on the outside. So, I don't want to spend too much time talking about what we don't have, but let's talk about what we do have, the matchups that we've got going on. In the Rose Bowl, we've got number 2 Oklahoma taking on number 3 Georgia. And in the Sugar Bowl, we have, of course, that rematch I was talking about. Number 1 Clemson taking on number 4 Alabama. And I think these are going to be some really interesting matchups. And Marcus and I will definitely get into these a little bit more in depth next week. But my initial impressions, my first take, if you will, on these games is that I think things are set up for a really exciting championship game between Clemson and Oklahoma. And I guess I'm tipping my hand already, spoiling my predictions. But I see Clemson beating Alabama because as good as Alabama is and as tough as their conference was, you're not going to be able to win without a quarterback. And I don't think that Alabama has the quarterback play to beat a team like Clemson. And you can say, you know, Clemson, they had a bad loss to Syracuse, but that's when Kelly Bryant, their quarterback, was hurt. And I think, man, this is not the same team we saw with Deshaun Watson, but it is, I don't want to say more explosive, but it's just as explosive offensively. And I think Clemson is going to come out on top in that Alabama game. Then on the other side, when you got Georgia and Oklahoma, I think that's a really fun game. I think that'll probably be the more fun game of the two, even though everybody's going to be all hyped up on the rematch. But I think Georgia, while I am an ATLian at heart, I think Georgia is going to struggle a bit. You know, I think that Jake Fromm, the true freshman quarterback, has done a masterful job this season for Kirby Smart and those Bulldogs. But this is a different story altogether. And I think when you get this deep into the playoffs, when you get into this level of competition, quarterback play is very important. And as much as I dislike this guy as a human being, I don't think there's any doubt that Baker Mayfield is a big-time college quarterback. And let me reemphasize that, a big-time college quarterback, because I think he's got a little Manziel in him when it comes to that next level. I don't see Baker Mayfield being this amazing NFL quarterback. But in college, the dude is legit. Definitely a Heisman Trophy front runner. I think he does irk me a bit because he does have some of that Gronk syndrome where, you know, the white guy kind of gets to be a buffoon. And, you know, where have we seen the white quarterback get to be a buffoon while we're on this point? Because, you know, Johnny Manziel had a little bit of this in him. Baker Mayfield's definitely got a little bit of this in him. And it seems to be, you know, he gets criticized from some facets of the media. But a lot of times, you know, you got these analysts and these journalists like, man, that's the type of fire you want in your foxhole, which I don't know why you want fire in your foxhole, but that's a whole different story for a whole nother day. But then, you know, he's got the passion. This kid is what college sports should be all about. But, you know, let Cam Newton at Auburn or Jameis at Florida State show a little bit of enthusiasm and exuberance. And, you know, it's immaturity. These kids need to grow up. And so I don't want to get into that this week. I'm just throwing a little food for thought out there on your holiday table as we are in the holiday season. So just think about that. But anyway, I've got Oklahoma taking out Georgia, and I got Clemson taking out Alabama. And you know, we're going to have a hell of a matchup. Kelly Bryant, Baker Mayfield, Clemson, and Oklahoma. At least that's what I'm predicting. We'll get Brother Marcus's predictions next week and see how he feels about the college football playoffs. So, matter of fact, that might be the first thing we talk about next week when Marcus gets back. I just sit him down here on the podcast and ask him point blank, period, who do you believe can win this fight tonight? might be the best thing about the championship, the college football playoffs coming to a close, because that song has been drilled into our collective heads for weeks and months. And yeah, I'm done. Although I did enjoy singing. You know, whenever Marcus is away, I got to let these vocal cords play, baby. So let's go from college football to professional football and talk about the National Football League. In the world of the NFL, there were three major stories this week. Of course, Roger Goodell, the commish, signed his contract extension, much to the chagrin of one Jerry Jones. Goodell signed a new five-year, $200 million contract. So I wish I was paid that well for being so mediocre at my job. But yeah, Roger Goodell's got a new contract. The next big story was the NFL's disciplinary actions of the week. It's kind of like looking at a police blotter when you go and check out the fines and suspensions for week 13. Chief amongst them, Rob Gronkowski, Juju Smith-Schuster, and George Ioka. Now, of course, Smith-Schuster and Ioka took part in that physical game from Monday night where the Steelers came away with a three-point win over the Bengals. But the score and the victory, which brought the Steelers to 10-2, wasn't the big story coming out of the game. It was the physicality and some of the hits that had taken place, and Ryan Shazier for the Steelers, who was taken away off of the field and is still receiving medical attention as we speak. So that's kind of spun out into the discussion of, is the NFL too dangerous? And do players know what they're signing up for? And are these hits too egregious? And does the NFL need to institute a targeting rule much like they have in college football? And I don't believe that there should be a targeting rule, but I do think that's kind of where things are headed, because, and I really don't like using this word because it's kind of like a buzzword, but the optics of the situation don't look good when you have Shazier, who's, I think is 25 or 26, but he's a young man either way, when you have Shazier getting carted off the field, and when you have the optics of Smith-Schuster standing over Vontaze Burfict, who he just knocked to the ground. I think that the public at large is going to find this distasteful, and the game has already been moving away from the way it's been played. You know, even 5 or 10 years ago, the way that they officiate these hits is much different than what we saw in the early 2000s or even in, you know, the late 90s or the early 80s. It's a different game, and I think they want to legislate some of this stuff out of the game, which makes some of their rulings, and I guess this goes back to Big Money Goodell, Big Bank Roger, if you will, goes to some of the rulings that they've come down with lately. And you know, you talk about Rob Gronkowski only being suspended one game for basically dropping the people's elbow on Tre'Davious White from Buffalo. And then you see people like Juju Smith and George Ioka, not to mention Crabtree and Tlaib from a couple weeks ago, get heavier suspensions or heavier fines than Rob Gronkowski. It doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, Gronk got, they hit Gronk in his pocket, but he only had to miss one game for what many people are saying is one of the most egregious late hits that they've ever seen. You know, this guy, Tre'Davious White, was on the ground, like lying face down, and Gronk just kind of, you saw him like load up the elbow and just drop it on the back of this dude's neck. And, you know, because he's Gronk, I think people don't take it the way that they would if it were somebody like a Vontaze Burfict, who's got this track record, plus he's kind of a menacing dude, and he's also a black dude, which I think kind of plays into that, because Gronk gets away with being the meathead. Gronk gets away with being this big kid because, A, people like him. Like, I like Gronk. He's one of the few, if only, New England Patriots that I actually dig. But I think Gronk gets away with it because he's a frat boy. And, you know, in this climate of sexual harassment and the hashtag MeToo movement and all that stuff, what other athlete gets to make 69 jokes to female reporters and not face much of any blowback Gronk does, because Gronk's a meathead. Let Jameis Winston say something like that. Oh, it's a wrap. Let Cam Newton wearing Patti LaBelle's Christmas suit say something like that. Oh, it's a wrap. I just realized this is the second time this week that I've used Jameis and Cam as reference points. I don't know. I don't know if that says more about my references or about Jameis and Cam and the way that they are kind of perceived in the league, but that's neither here nor there. What I do think, though, is the rules committee and the commissioner and the players association are going to have to take a long, hard look at things in the offseason, because I do think we're seeing the rate of kids playing high school football, that decreases. The kids playing Pop Warner, that's decreasing. And football is so marketable and such a money-making machine that it's not going away. But I do think we're going to, like, this is the tipping point that we've reached right now. And I think football 5 or 10 years from now is going to look very different than football does today. And, you know, it's not going to be flag football or powder puff football or, you know, some of the other derogatory terms that some of the players want to say, but I do think it's going to be a much safer, much more toned down version of a game which is inherently violent. Speaking of inherently violent, I don't know if that's a good segue or not, because the way they got up out of there wasn't really violent, but it was quick, fast, and in a hurry. And of course, I'm talking about the regime change in New York with the New York Football Giants. Coach Ben McAdoo, aka McAdoo-Doo, he gone. And GM Jerry Reese is also up out of there as well. Steve Spagnuolo is the interim head coach. And Eli Manning is back behind center for your New York Football Giants. The streak 2.0 has begun. So I think that silence you heard was the reaction from Giants fans to this news. I mean, they'll be hyped to see Eli back in the starting quarterback role. I mean, anything is better than Geno Smith or Davis Webb. But this is a Giants team that's 2-10. They're coming off of a loss to the Raiders. They are woefully undermanned when it comes to the injuries that they've sustained this season. The offensive line is hot garbage. The running game, you know, Orleans Darkwa aside, is pretty pedestrian. The receiving core, it's not great. The defense, which you would think would be the hallmark of this team, hasn't performed to the best of its abilities because it's had to be on the field for so long because the offense can't get anything going. So this is a Giants team that's in flux. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theory guy, but I do think that, you know, Mara and the ownership of the Giants think this is the best case scenario. You know, we are able to remove McAdoo and Reese, who were problems with the Giants moving forward. And we also got to bench Eli, which is something that I think they wanted to do. But they, you know, they set McAdoo up to kind of be the punching bag, to be the whipping boy for this. Because truth be told, it was going to be so much harder to either move on from Eli or bench Eli or whatever they were going to do at the quarterback position if that streak was still alive and that streak was still active. And so now I think it becomes easier to restructure his contract or let him know that we're going in the draft and we're going to pick your heir apparent, or to trade the guy. And if there is a landing point for Eli Manning outside of New York, I think the two candidates for me would be Denver or Jacksonville. And I really like the Jacksonville connection because Tom Coughlin's there, who is an Eli Manning guy. In fact, he caped up for Eli on Twitter the week after Eli got benched and said, you know, this was something egregious and terrible. And, you know, to quote Stephen A. Smith, "As a 9, as a 10, as a 11 for the Giants organization to do to Eli Manning. And so I think, you know, Tom Coughlin, he's kind of like sliding Eli's DMs. He's like, come over here, Eli. Don't worry about that, boo. I got you. I got you, Eli. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Eli join up with the Jaguars, which would immediately make them a contender, I think, in the AFC. You know, they're doing this with smoke and mirrors right now with terrible quarterback play and basically winning on the back of that defense and running game. And I think, you know, you put Eli in there with Leonard Fournette and some of them other young weapons that they have on offense and sustain that defense, I think Jacksonville is a team on the rise. And, you know, if you get the last three, four good years, should I say, out of Eli Manning. That's a contender right there. So that's going to be it for the NFL this week. Marcus and I will have much more to talk about on that front next week. And for those of you wondering, we are still doing our NFL Picks Challenge, where Marcus and I go head-to-head against the spread to see who is the best pigskin prognosticator in the land. We are still doing that, even though Marcus isn't here this week. We've made our picks, and so next week we will reveal the season standings so far. So let's leave the NFL, a sport that some would say is broken, and end things this week with a wrestler who is now woken.
Brother Nero.
So this past Monday night on Monday Night Raw, we saw the formal debut, I guess you could say, of Matt Hardy's broken slash woken gimmick. You know, he cut into a meandering, typical Bray Wyatt promo, and yeah, it was the full character, at least. You know, we didn't get, you know, Senior Benjamin or Brother Nero or Vanguard One or any of the trappings that came with the gimmick when it was portrayed in Impact, but the character, at least, was certainly broken Matt Hardy. And I gotta say, I thought the performance was great. I do have some apprehension, though, because while I enjoyed the character very much in Impact, and I think Matt Hardy certainly has the capacity to translate that in the WWE, two things give me apprehension. Number one being that this first feud is with Bray Wyatt, who has been a cold character for the better part of at least a year. And then number two, how much free reign will the WWE give Matt Hardy? And how much of their own creative will they try to impose on this gimmick? Because we've seen when the WWE has tried to do things that were like the Broken Universe from Impact, it hadn't turned out well. You know, think about the Wyatt Family Compound fight that they did with the New Day. That was terrible. Think about the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania where they, you know, played Viewmaster with the mat and projected, you know, the worms and all that stuff. That didn't work. Think about the House of Horrors match that Bray had with Randy Orton. It didn't work either. And even think about the Sister Abigail thing that they were trying to start with Finn Balor a month or so ago. That wasn't coming off well either. So what's the common denominator? Well, you got two common denominators with all those. One, the WWE creative team, and two, Bray Wyatt. And now you put both of these onto a gimmick that is super successful, at least in terms of the reception and the response from the fans. And I don't know. Like, I hope that this works, but I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess you could say. Because I think that Matt Hardy is talented enough and creative enough to find a way to make this work in the WWE context. But I don't know if Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn and the production crew, if they'll allow him to truly be him. Because let's not forget, while Matt Hardy did, you know, come up with this, and this was kind of his baby, his brainchild, a lot of the credit for this too has to be given to Jeremy Borash and that Impact production team that did a great job bringing that Broken Universe to fruition. So, you know, it wasn't just Matt, it wasn't just Impact, but it was that collaboration that brought this thing to the forefront. And I don't know if we're going to see that same collaborative effect in the WWE. I hope we get it, but I've, like, don't hold your breath, people. I mean, now, if this were the Broken Triple H universe, oh, they'd go all out for this. You know, Triple H would have every opportunity to get this thing over. But with Matt, I'm not sure. So we'll see, because they've got time to let this thing marinate. The next WWE pay-per-view is The Clash of Champions, which is a SmackDown show. And so Raw's next show is not going to be until, let's see, let me look this up real quick. Raw's next show would be, oh, they don't have another show before the Royal Rumble. So yeah, so it's Clash of Champions, then it's NXT TakeOver in Philly, and then the Royal Rumble in Philly. So they might find a way to stretch this out and build up enough momentum to where we're actually invested in this by the time we get to January and the Royal Rumble. So I have high hopes. I hope that they can get this thing going. I wish that they can get this thing going. But you know the old saying, if wishes were fishes, the world would be an ocean. So we'll see about what lies in store for the broken brilliance or the woken brilliance of one Matt Hardy. Will it be delightful or will it be an angle that we all wish that we could? Wait for it. Delete. So, let's see. Talk some football. We talked some wrestling. NBA. I guess the biggest news from the NBA, the National Basketball Association, from the past week was the injury to Steph Curry. So instead of Chef Curry with the shot, he goes to Steph Curry with the crutch. And we'll see. I guess the early indications are that he'll miss 2 weeks of playing time for the Warriors, which isn't that big in the grand scheme of things, and it actually might be a benefit to have Steph, you know, get this time off. But we'll see. You know, he came into the league with concerns about his ankle. He's been very sturdy since then, and now he's out for 2 weeks. So the question will be, how does Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant and the rest of the Warriors adjust to his absence? It's going to be interesting, in my opinion. And then you look over on the eastern side of things, where early on in the season, all the questions were, what's going on with the Cavs? You know, this team isn't gelling. What's wrong with LeBron? And what do you know? Lo and behold, the Cavs are who we thought they were. Say it one more time, Dennis Green. The Cavs are who we thought they were. LeBron James gets healthy, and coincidence of all coincidences, the Cleveland Cavaliers start to step up, and he is playing at an MVP level. I think the Celtics, while they have improved certainly defensively, I think they are going to be in the mix. But for everybody that was writing off the Cavs and saying that this was the Celtics East, I think that was a little bit premature. So the Cavs are who we thought they were. The Warriors, even without Steph Curry for the next 2 weeks, are who we thought they were and who we know they are. And I still think all roads lead to another meeting in the finals between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. But I guess all roads on this show lead to me wrapping things up. So before we get out of here, let me let you guys and girls know what we have planned for the Kings of Sport over the next few weeks as we are in this holiday season. Next week's show, Marcus Vandenberg will return. And I don't know, we'll have to see if we can get him to retell some of those great stories that he told to me last night that are now erased. And you don't get to hear the great discussion about Marcus going up to the Eiffel Tower at night and all these other stories of how he found Steak and Shake in Paris. And he was, yes, the nigga in Paris that ate his Steak and Shake. So ball so hard, I guess. So next week will be a full show. Marcus will be back. We'll have some great stories to tell. We'll get back into the NCAA college football playoffs. We'll talk some NFL. We'll have our picks challenge again. We might bring back our black quarterback rankings. You never know. And we might have some good stories for segment four as well. And we'll probably do a preview for Clash of Champions next week as well. So we'll have a big jam-packed show for you guys and girls next week. Then the following week, and maybe even the following 2 weeks, we'll probably get into our best of for 2017. So if you have a favorite segment four story or a favorite Vanderburgers or a favorite interview or a favorite discussion, maybe a favorite Hotep radio segment from the past year, go ahead and send Marcus and I a note on Facebook or Twitter and let us know what you would like to hear on our best of show. And of course, you can holler at Marcus at Marco Will, MarcoWill, Marco Will, on Twitter and Instagram. You can hit me up on Twitter at N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, at Nate Mosaic. And you can hit me up on Instagram at Black Nate. That's B-L-A-Q-U-E underscore N8, Black Nate on Instagram. Follow the show, Cospod on Twitter, K-O-S underscore P-O-D. That's Cospod on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. Let's see, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever you find your podcast, that's where you can find us. and make sure you subscribe to the show, because that way, every time we release a new episode, whether it's early, on time, or later, as it is this week, you'll be sure to get the latest edition of the show on your podcast device of choice. So be sure to subscribe. And while you're there, rate the show. And if you like what we're doing, if you dig what we're putting down, share the show with your friends, especially in this holiday season, especially in the age of Trump. We need to spread all the goodwill and happy feelings that we can. And hopefully the Kings of Sport podcast provides you with some good feelings to go into your week each and every episode. So that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Thanks again for listening to a special Royal Rant edition of the program. Shout out to Brother Marcus. Wish him safe travels back to Los Angeles. And again, everybody out in LA and Southern California, we wish you guys and girls nothing but the best dealing with the fire and all the things that are coming out of that. So everybody. It's Christmas time, holiday season. Let's try to be better people. So again, thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions for the Best Of show, you can hit Marcus and I up on Twitter, or hit the show up on the Facebook page or the Twitter account, and let us know what segments you would like to hear in our Kings of Sport Best Of 2017 episodes. So that's going to do it for this week. I got to get out of here. I got to catch this Psych Christmas movie and also check out the Falcons and the Saints, and hopefully my Falcons will whoop up on Mike Mills' Saints. So I'm out of here, and I'll check you back again next week when Brother Marcus returns for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and I know that you know that I'm not telling the truth. I know you know they just don't have any proof. Embrace the deception. Learn how to be, because your worst inhibitions tend to psych you out in the end. Because you've been down with the king.
In between the lines, there's a lot of obscurity. I'm not inclined to resign to maturity. If it's all right, then you're all wrong. But why bounce around to the same down song? You'd rather run when you can't crawl. I'm not telling the truth.
I know, you know,
they just don't have any truth. It's a deception. Learn how to bend your worst inhibitions, then psych you out in the end.
I know, you know.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about? Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS underscore POD, Cospod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted. Yeah.